God didn't need to tell us anything about what lies beyond death. He could have just said, now you trust me in the Christian life, and as far as what lies beyond, I'm not telling you anything, you just need to trust me on it. But he doesn't do that. He pulls back the curtain just a little.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I'm intrigued by this. I'm very curious to see what God does say about what lies on the other side of death.
Yeah, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul tells us that we live in this body that's like a tent, and one day it's going to be pulled down. Tents aren't very glamorous structures.
No, they're not.
You know, it's not a palace, it's not a castle. There is a frailty within our own human frame. One day it's going to come down. What will happen then? And he's going to describe for us the very life of heaven. And this is one of the passages in the scriptures that really gives us a glimpse as to what lies for a Christian believer beyond this life. And we need to know this.
Yeah.
You know, set your mind on things above. Well, God has told us something about the things above so that we can do that. And this is a great passage of encouragement for building faith today.
Well, that passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're in the first five verses as we continue a message entitled, Prepared for Something Better. Here's Pastor Colin.
What God is saying in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 1, if you believe this, this healthy dose of biblical realism will greatly help you so that you do not lose heart. We need it. We need every part of the Word of God, and we desperately need what is before us in the Scriptures today. Now, that's the first point. Here's the second. The first, a healthy dose of realism about the Christian's life on earth. The second, a marvelous gift of revelation about the Christian's life in heaven. A marvelous gift of revelation about the Christian's life in heaven. Verse 1 again, we know that if the tent that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, Paul is using here a very simple picture, and it's a very wonderful one. You can teach this to your children. You can teach this to your grandchildren. Wonderfully simple. A Christian is the owner of two homes. That's true of every Christian. The Christian is the owner of two homes. The home that you are living in now, the body, is the temporary one. It is canvas, it is ropes, it is pegs. But you have another home that is more enduring and more substantial. It doesn't say you will have another home. It says you do have another home. We have this. It's already there for us. The date of your moving to the new home has not yet been given, but it is already known to God. Now, what exactly is this new home that the Christian has? That's a very important question. Nobody that I have read on this question deals with it or answers it better than Charles Hodge, the great teacher from Princeton in an earlier century. And he asks in his book on 2 Corinthians, what is the building into which the soul enters when the present body is taken down? What is the building that Paul is referring to here into which the soul enters when the present body, the tent, is taken down? And he gives three possibilities that have been put forward by various writers over the years. The first is heaven itself. The second is the resurrection body. And the third is some kind of temporary body, an intermediate body, so that, as Paul says, we are not found naked between death and resurrection when Christ returns in glory. Now, having laid out these three, very quickly, Charles Hodge, and surely rightly, dismisses the third one, an interim or temporary body. The Bible nowhere teaches that. And besides, in this passage, Paul says that the new house is eternal. So if the new house is eternal, it could hardly be something that is interim or temporary. And so that leaves two serious contenders here of how we're to understand this. Is it the resurrection body that is being spoken of, or is it heaven itself? With regard to the resurrection body, he points out that the resurrection body is the gift of Christ to all believers when Christ returns in glory. In other words, Christians who die have to wait for it. Always remember that only one person has the resurrection body right now. The only person who has the resurrection body right now is Jesus Christ. Peter, James, John don't have it. They're still waiting for the time when Christ returns in glory and all of his church will be brought together. The whole family will get this marvelous gift on that great day. So our believing loved ones who have died and are with Christ do not yet have the resurrection body. They are waiting that further joy that yet lies ahead. Now, I take a moment on that for this reason. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is answering the question, what happens when a Christian dies? What happens when the tent is taken down? When the tent is taken down, what in the next moment is the experience of the Christian believer? What happens to your loved one? What will happen to you as a Christian the moment after you close your eyes in death? Now, obviously, the answer to that question, what happens next, is not the resurrection body. That awaits the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will return in glory. No, the answer to the question, what happens next when the tent is taken down, is laid out in full in verse 8. To be away from the body is to be at, notice the word, home with the Lord. So I am convinced with Hodge and with many others that the home that is being referred to here, the building, relates to heaven itself, and that he's using the same language as the Lord Jesus himself did when he said, in my Father's, what's the next word? House are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus speaks about this as the house. That when the soul leaves the tent, which is the temporary house, it goes into the Father's house. And Paul is using the same language here. He's saying, we know that when the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, which is eternal in the heavens. So the Christian then is a person with two houses. The first house for your soul is the body, which is like a tent. And when that house is pulled down, you will move into the other house, which is in heaven, the house that Jesus has prepared for you. Heaven is the house into which your soul will enter when your present house, the tent, is taken down. Now, the contrast, which is what Paul is getting at here, between these two houses could hardly be greater. The tent is a house to lodge in, but the building is a home to live in. The tent is a fragile structure with many difficulties and limitations, and it will eventually be destroyed. The building is an enduring structure that Paul says here will be eternal. In this earthly tent, there is a great deal of groaning. But in the house that is not made with hands, verse 4, he tells us what is mortal will be swallowed up in life. Beautiful. Marvelous. Now, understand this. God is using language that we can grasp to help us begin to understand something of what otherwise would be completely beyond us. And so try to take in this picture by which God is speaking to us. Two things happen when a Christian dies. It's like moving house. There's a leaving and there is an arriving. Think about the leaving. In the leaving, your soul is separated from your body. Nobody likes to think about such a thing. Nobody likes the thought of leaving. That is why death is an enemy. That is why it's spoken of as the last enemy, even the last enemy of the Christian, the last one to be defeated. It is the undoing of our nature. It's the tearing apart of what God has joined together. He made you a body-soul unity. The interface between your soul and your body is so complex as to be almost unfathomable. To separate your soul from your body feels like it's the undoing to take the soul out of its house. And it is. And that is why Paul speaks of longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, that we may not be found naked, verse 3. Or in verse 4, we groan and are burdened, not that we would be unclothed. The thought of simply being a sort of lost spirit without a home is an appalling thought. Nobody in their right mind would want their soul to be separated from their body. And if death was only the leaving of the soul from the body, it would be terrifying indeed. But the whole point here is that the apostle is saying, when your soul leaves the tent, when your soul leaves the body, the leaving is immediately matched to an arriving. Your soul moves into the new home that he's describing for us here. Christian brother, sister, when God takes down your tent, your soul will not be lost in space without a resting place. The moment your soul leaves the tent of your body, it will be at home in the building, the place that Jesus Christ has already prepared for you. To be absent from the body, verse 8, is to be present with the Lord.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Prepared for Something Better, the first in our series, Don't Lose Heart, a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to get back to this message in just a moment. If you ever miss a program, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the broadcast or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. The app is free. You'll find it at your app store. And that is a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching when you're on the go. It's basically listening on demand. So again, if you don't have the app, you'll find it for free at your app store. Just look for Open the Bible or come and listen online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
I expect everybody's got some story of moving house. And might enjoy swapping some of these stories in the next week. Karen and I have only done that once in all of our married lives. 16 years serving church in London and 18 years being blessed to be here. And so that was our one move. We left a house that was and still is owned by the church that we served and love in London, and came and bought the house that we have here. And we've been there 18 years and are so grateful for it today. And you know what it's like. Leaving is never fun. Here were a congregation of people we really loved, and a home to which we brought home our two boys when they were born, and full of memories, and leaving that house wasn't easy. And it was made worse by the last time that we were there. It all came back to me just thinking about it this morning. 6 months before we left, our house was flooded. And so we lived for some months really effectively in what was a rebuilding job that was going on there. We felt that it was right to stay rather than to move out. But I'm just saying this because, you know, the process of leaving, as we're thinking about what this end of life can be like, is sometimes very difficult. And I remember the last day I closed the door, it's imprinted on my mind. Karen and the boys had gone ahead with the car, and they'd gone down to her folks, and our stuff was all on the high seas somewhere, and we hoped that we might one day see it again. And having said goodbye to everyone and finished up everything that we wanted to leave the place as best we could, and I came out the door, and there I am with my suitcase, and got on the train, and it was raining. It always rains in London. But it was just a gray day, and I thought, you know, that's exactly what it feels. Leaving's no fun. No fun. Arriving was a different matter. Very different. Wonderful. Now, let me just give this personal caveat for a moment. The problem for us was that there was some distance in between. We found, and folks here who were involved at the time, and some of you prayed at this time, I've always been grateful for that, that there had been a delay and a glitch in the process of our application, or the church's application, for a green card for us. And we were stranded. I mean, our stuff was gone. We were out of our house. We'd ended with one church. We had not legal permission now to begin here. And that was our position in no man's land for 10 weeks. And that was not an easy time, as you can imagine. Moved in with my folks, but grateful for their kindness. We had a sense of we have no home. We've left one and we can't get to the other. And eventually, the great day came, and with great thankfulness to God, we made this long journey. It took a while, 4,000 miles. That's a long way to go. And I say that for this reason, that in great contrast to that experience, I want you to take this in. However difficult the last days in the tent may be for you, and sometimes the leaving is hard, however difficult the last days in the tent may be for you, the moment you leave will be the moment you arrive. The moment you close your eyes will be the moment that you see the full glory of the Savior you have loved and trusted all these years. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You will never be stranded in no man's land. When you're out of the one house, you're into the other. It is an instant house move. Think about your story of moving house. How many people would have liked to experience an instant house move like that? And that's exactly what he's describing here. And out of the tent with all of its sagging structure and all of the difficulties as it's being taken down, and into the glory of the home that Jesus Christ has already prepared for you and has it ready. It's yours. And it's there in the heavens. Matthew Henry just grasps this so helpfully. He says, death, considered merely as a separation of soul and body, is not to be desired, but rather dreaded. But considered as a passage to glory, the believer is willing to die rather than to live, to be absent from the body, that he or she may be present with the Lord. An immediate translation in which you change the tent for the building, earth for heaven, the temporary for the eternal, and the pain of groaning for the joy of glory. And then the Apostle Paul just caps it under the inspiration of the Spirit. He says this in verse 5, and he who has prepared us for this very thing, that is, he who has prepared us for this marvelous and instantaneous translation, when the tent is taken down and you enter into the building, he who has prepared us for this very thing is, say it with me, God. Oh, don't you thank God for that? He has prepared you. Not he is preparing us. He has prepared us. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. It's done. It was accomplished on the cross. How has God prepared us for this? He sent his Son into the world to prepare the place for us. He sent the Spirit into our hearts to prepare us for the place. The one who has prepared us for this is God. And that's why he says here that he has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee of what is to come. Isn't this amazing? In the Old Testament, they had this tabernacle, which was a tent. And you remember that the glory of God, God's own presence, came down into the tent. And you say, why in all the world would God, who made the earth and the heavens and all things, why would this great and glorious God want to live in a tent? And yet the Old Testament tells us that that was where his presence was found. And you see how that goes through to the New Testament in this very verse that we're in today. What's your body like? It's like a tent. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Almighty Sovereign God, God himself by the Spirit, has come down to live in the tent of your body. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God with you in all the groaning and difficulty and pressure of life in the tent. God makes his home with you in the tent until the day when you make your home with him in the house. And I call this a marvelous gift of revelation of the Christian's life in heaven, because God didn't need to tell us anything about what lies beyond death. He could have just said, now you trust me, you trust me in the Christian life, and as far as what lies beyond, I'm not telling you anything, you just need to trust me on it. But he doesn't do that. He pulls back the curtain just a little so that we may be given a glimpse of what is yet to come. And why does he do it? So that we will not lose heart.
I love that line that Pastor Colin shared with us just a little bit ago. God makes his home with you in the tent until the day that you make your home with him in the house that's eternal in heaven. What a great reminder as we wrap up this message, prepared for something better, being reminded that if you know Christ, when you die, your soul is separated from your body and it moves into a new and glorious home. This message, Prepared for Something Better, is the first in a series entitled Don't Lose Heart. I know many of us struggle to not lose heart. We face some of the challenges and the difficulties of life. Maybe we feel overwhelmed. We get to a certain point in life and we say, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought my life would be. And we're tempted to lose heart. But as we're digging into 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in this series, we're being reminded of how we can face the pressures all around us and not be overwhelmed and not be discouraged, how we can live in this world and not lose heart. If you'd like to get a copy of the series, Don't Lose Heart, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We can't do what we do without your generosity, so thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Reichen's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what is something that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think the first thing is probably the subtitle, which I think is full of hope. How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. I think that's marvelous. And there's a profound truth here that when we endure dark experiences of doubt, that God can actually work in and through these to bring us to a stronger faith. And so perhaps someone listening right now is thinking, oh, I think I'm maybe like Judas who betrayed Jesus. Well, think about Peter, who also denied his faith, but then was wonderfully restored and became a pillar of the church. So you need to know that your doubts may be the very thing that God will use to strengthen your faith. And this book, I think, very practically will help you to deal with your doubts. It'll equip you to walk through the struggle and to see how God can work redemptively for your good and for his glory.
Well, we want to say thank you for your financial gift in supporting Open the Bible this month by sending you a copy of this book. Again, it's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.